And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and this is the Spring Offering Week. You're right in the middle of it here on WMIE. The phone number is 321-632-1000. If you are blessed by the many different teaching and preaching programs that are aired here on WMIE, and you need to understand that that doesn't happen, you know, without a lot of time and a lot of resource and things like that. And so if you would like to help WMIE to be funded for the next 6 months the way that it needs to be funded, and it's not an elaborate amount, it's $40,000 over 6 months. That's a little over $6,000, about $6,600 dollars a month. And, you know, you think about a house, and that's you know, that's a pretty that's not an elaborate amount of money. And so it is a very achievable goal. And if God's people will help, you know, someone said about missions that the body of Christ has three possibilities. One is to be the one who goes, and so that would be those of us who are sharing the programs and got the infrastructure in place. The other is to send, and that's the financial support and things of that nature, people who pray for their missionaries. And the third is to disobey. And, you know, I don't know what your situation is, but I do know that there are a lot of people who listen to the Refresh Radio program. And if all of us did a little bit of something, it would really help the radio station maintain everything that needs to be maintained so that the teaching programs can go out. And so thank you in advance. 321-632-1000. If you feel God laying it upon your heart to be a participant in taking the gospel throughout Brevard County and around the world. So we are talking here on the program this week about prayer. It's a very important discussion. And a lot of times it gets kind of scholastic and things like that, but I've tried to break it down into a relational aspect, communication between the Father and the church, the Father and the saint, the believer, the one that Jesus came to save, to reconcile us to the Father. And so I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 6. We're not going to read, but about 4 or 5 verses here. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." And as much as it is important for us to pray and use our voice to pray to God, today I want to share with you that before we could ever get to that place, we need to get to the place where we have the ear for the Father's voice. So, in verse number 8, it says, "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." A lot of times we treat prayer as if it is a monologue on our part, where we are just laying out our request list, our needs, And sometimes if we're not careful, we can even get to the place where we think, God, it's a good thing you've got me in your camp, because if not, you wouldn't know how to solve this problem. And I want you to know that's really arrogant. It's not the reality of the kingdom of God at all. God knows. He knows the problems. He knows the solutions. He provided the solutions before the problem ever existed. Prayer is his idea, not our idea. And so for us to pray is an act of obedience, but it really should be birthed out of our relationship with God. And through the years, I came to realize that without hearing, our speaking is compromised. So it is very important for us to hear what God has to say. So when we go into pray, it's not a monologue on our part, and it's not a monologue on God's part, but it's a dialogue. It's a discussion, and us hearing is very, very important. If we don't hear the Father's voice, then we're not going to understand the Father's heart, and we're not going to have a message that can change the world. And we are the church. We're God's A team. There are no bench warmers in the kingdom of God. There's no second string or third string. All of us are supposed to be actively sharing the word of God and the message of God with those around us. So in Romans chapter 10, verse number 14, it says this: how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, faith is a result of hearing. And all of us could say, I need faith. I preached a message several weeks ago on the filters in our life. A lot of people are motivated by the flesh, by their carnal desires. A lot of people are motivated and interpret things through their emotions, through their feelings. So fear can be a very dominating factor. And fear is having more faith in the problem than you have in God that he can solve the problem. And so a lot of people are motivated by their finances. And it's not bad to be wise in your finances. But I have faith in God's resources more than I have faith in mine. And so I remember when my wife and I were early in our marriage, we didn't have a huge budget. You know, as we look at it now, the budget we had back then was not very high, but it took all the faith we had to get through from month to month. And then the first several steps of obedience after we got married to fulfill the call of God in our life, those steps all involved a step down in workplace revenue, and it caused an increase in faith that God was going to provide, you know, the finances that we need. And so, one of our testimonies is that we were faced with a financial dilemma, and we were just looking at square in the face. And I remember saying, I have no idea how we're going to get through this mess. And after we got through this mess, I looked around and I said, I have no idea how we got through that mess. There was a time when we moved to Florida. The company that had transferred me here went out of business right in the middle of one of my wife's pregnancies, right in the middle. You need insurance during times like that. And not only did my job go away, but then I had to pay a higher price for the insurance to keep it during that time. And over the next 3 or 4 months, as I transitioned from one job into another, which was a bad fit for me, I discovered that God provided miraculously in ways that I couldn't understand, and we ended up with more expendable income during that time. God provided above and beyond our needs during that time. So since I've experienced God's faithful provision through the years, I learned not to fear financial issues because I put faith in my finances, that my finances were not provided by the person occupying the White House or the person signing my paycheck, but instead my faith was in my financial provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, the God who provides. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, here's the physiological connection and the spiritual connection. Your ability to hear trains your vocal cords how to speak. That's why you can move from one area of the country to another, and without intention, without even any awareness of it, your voice will go through a metamorphosis to where you will speak like the people you hang around with, because that's what you're hearing. What you are hearing begins to impact the things that you speak. So when we are talking about hearing the voice of God and learning the heart of God, it suddenly impacts our vocal cords to be able to speak the things of God. So here in Romans chapter 10, there are people who do not believe that the solution for them believing in Christ is to hear the gospel, but they can't hear the gospel unless there's a spokesperson of the gospel who has to respond to the call of God. And so there is this connection between the word, which leads to hearing, which leads to faith. So how do I learn to hear the voice of God? How do I learn to hear the voice of God? Well, the first thing I could tell you is you need to familiarize yourself greatly with the word of God. Talk to a lot of different people. There are a lot of people who believe things that are not scriptural. It's just a reality. They feel good about it. They have reasonings why they believe the things that they do. But unless the reason is from the word of God, it's a faulty reason. So what all of us need is for people to help us to learn the word of God. And so I'm very thankful for the spiritual voices that speak into my life. I've got friends that speak into my life. I've got books that speak into my life. And so one of the questions a lot of people ask is, what books are you reading? And so there's generally books that are being published year by year, and some of them have some incredible information in it. A lot of times, however, it's not real deep. It's more topical. It's going to be, I'm going to try and hit you with this real quick, bam. And that's what I'm going to make an impact in, and it might have some fleeting influence in your life. But the Word of God is meant to have lasting fruit. So one of the things that I'm using as a spiritual voice into my life is a commentary on the Gospel of John. I teach the Gospel of John on Wednesday nights. It is not a light read. It is a deep dive. It is an intentional read. It is not going to be something you're going to be able to read unless you are a speed reader of epic caliber and that you are able to read very, very fine print, because it's got the text and then it's got the footnotes and things like that. Well, I'm looking to get the most out of the Gospel of John that I can. So the first thing I do is I go to the Gospel of John to hear what the Holy Spirit quickened John to say. And then I study the Gospel of John for myself. And then I find out, what does the commentary, this person who has greater scholastic credentials than I do, what do they have to say about that? And I think the book is about 600 to 700 pages long. And so by the end of this teaching, I'm going to have, and this is not the first time I've gone through this, by the way, I've got the book highlighted and things like that, but I'm reading everything all over again. But I'm also compiling study notes and personal notes and things like that, that are going to be there to remind me what the Word of God teaches for the rest of my life and ministry. So the Word of God is very important. So I want to share with you a few progressions in learning to hear the Father's voice. And the first one is the written word. The written word. You need to know what God has said, because the still small voice of God, or if you're one of the few people, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I have definitely heard God speak to me. And I tell people, I don't know how God speaks to you. The Father speaks to me like a father who is prompting his child and correcting his child to better walk like a child of God. So there are some people who can't handle correction at all. I don't like correction. First of all, I don't like to be wrong. Second, I don't like correction because it means that I have been wrong and, you know, that I've got to make an adjustment. But I do like the fact that God corrects me while the problems are small. I don't really want to have to deal with monster-sized problems. A lot of times people wait to contact the pastor until they've got a 5-alarm fire on their hands. It's a whole lot better to resolve the problems while they're in the infantile stage rather than being fully developed. So you've got the Word of God. And then as you read the Word of God, you discover that Jesus is the living Word. You discover that the Word is quick, it's powerful. And so when you understand the written Word and you read that God cannot lie, he will not contradict himself, then you understand that if somebody says something that doesn't align with the Word of God, that they are the ones that are mistaken. And so there are many, many, falsehoods falsehoods that are propagated across pulpits across the world in modern times, and it's a culturally accepted word. It's just not a divinely inspired word, because it is trying to change the word of God to fit the culture instead of allowing the word of God to change the culture into a heavenly representative culture. So Jesus is the living word. I'm not the perfect word. I do my best to represent him as an ambassador, to be a preacher, to be a person who proclaims the gospel, to proclaim the full gospel. And so, if you understand that the written word is ultimately fulfilled in the living word of Jesus, then that brings you to the place where you can say, okay, what is the spoken word? So preaching, teaching, like I do here on the radio, it's designed to be a tool to help us to better understand and live the word. If you were to go back to Matthew and you look in the Sermon on the Mount and you get to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, you see that there's the Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And then he goes on to talk about the two houses, the one that survived the rain, the floods, and the winds, and the beating of the house, and the other one whose foundation gets washed away. So the people who speak into our lives need to be people who not only can put thought together, but they're actually practitioners. So we're talking about prayer. Before I came in and did the very first lesson, I said, God, I need to hear from you what you want me to say. And so I positioned myself intentionally in a time of prayer with a notepad, with a pen, and I said, God, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. So the things that I've heard are the things that I'm now speaking, which that spoken word then becomes the heard word, H-E-A-R-D. So hearing, listening, and learning are all tied together in the Word of God. So I've got a person that I know, a friend of mine. When in conversation with them, they are listening to solve the problem. They are not looking to have a long, drawn-out conversation. They're saying, okay, how can I solve this problem? Guys, I will tell you that many times our wives are not looking to have a conversation with us so that we can solve the problem. They are looking for someone who will listen to them. And ladies, I will tell you that the husbands, the men, are going to speak fewer words than what ladies do generally. I happen to be a practitioner of the gift of gab. I can talk to anybody about anything for quite a while, but I don't have to do all of the speaking. So I can be in conversation with somebody and listen to them. What are they really saying? What are they really wanting to get off of their chest? So the words that we read about, the words that we see on display in Jesus, the words that we hear from the pulpit, the words that we hear not just with our ears but with our spirit, leads to a demonstration of the word, which results in the word that we speak. So if a child's ears do not working, they're going to have a very difficult time speaking. You think, well, that's the end of the problem. If my hearing is good, then no, I want you to know that that's not the case. Because if our hearing isn't working well physically, it changes what we speak. So I knew of a person, and I was listening to them, and I said, what's wrong with their voice? Come to find out, there wasn't anything really wrong with their voice. They had a problem with their hearing. And they had to go, and they had to have some work done on their ear system. And once they got their hearing fixed, their mouth, their speech returned to what it was like before. So a couple of years ago, I went to a meeting, and there's a friend of mine. He said, you know, if it's too loud, you're too old. And I went to this particular meeting, and it was loud. I was literally holding my fingers in my ears. And I went to church a few days later, and was not the first time I'd ever been in a loud environment. That may be the loudest environment I've ever been in. But I went to church, and the worship team was practicing, and I said, what in the world is wrong with the sound system? And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I know what the sound system sounds like because I've heard it for years. The problem wasn't with the sound system. The problem was with my ears. And so I addressed that problem because I can't afford to have a problem with the message when there's millions dying to be saved. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.